What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Ari, here.
This is Christina Williams.
It's Dawn Staley.
I'm Miles Ehrlich.
It's your girl, Jasmine Baker, here.
And you're listening to About That.
About That.
About That.
About That.
So you know you gotta stay locked into About That with your boy, B. Terrell. Deuces. I'm sorry, no sorry. Nobody but
don't act crazy. What up? Happy Friday, everybody. This is your boy, your nephew. If you know Kurt Franklin, that's what I was doing. Anyway, I'm your host, B. Terrell, and you have tuned into another episode of About That. And I'm so excited that you decided to tune in from wherever you are, whether it be wherever you are. I'm excited that you decided to listen today. And so, yeah, the regular season is officially done. As you all may be aware, if you're listening to this, you're more than likely probably a WNBA fan. If not, and you're still listening to this, I appreciate you as well. But yeah, the regular season is done. A new season is upon us. They are fighting for something. They are fighting to hoist that trophy that does not have a name yet. So that silver WNBA trophy, they are fighting. All of those teams are trying to hoist one of those. And, yeah, so I'm excited. I'm also sad at the same time because cue the violin music. Was that graduation music? Wait. Anyway, I was trying to do some sad violin music, but my Atlanta dream did not make the playoffs. We came so, so close, but they did not make the playoffs. Shouts out to them. It was an amazing season for them. I remember talking about this a while ago when Tanisha got hired and doing free agency. People were saying that, oh, you know, no one's going to want to play in Atlanta because, you know, the culture is just horrible. And I'm like, look, Tanisha ain't playing that. Tanisha is a no-nonsense type of a coach, and I guarantee you she can correct that culture, for lack of better words, in a season. And she definitely has. The Dream won more games than they have won the previous two seasons. They were just so close to making the playoffs. They have an all-star caliber players. You know, obviously Ryan Howard, Cheyenne had a good season for them. AD, you know, was able to come in and contribute. The future, I feel, looks bright for Atlanta. They're going to have some decisions to definitely make. Free agency, I feel like, will be Atlanta, and I know people hate this, Hotlanta will definitely be, I feel like, a preferred destination because they see the foundation. And so the Dream are headed back to the lottery. Hopefully they can get Aaliyah Boston. Boy, if they get Aaliyah Boston, it's a wrap. Woo! Anyway, but shouts out to the Dream. Y'all had a good year. A lot of people doubted y'all, but I never doubted y'all. You know, I was probably just a little bit off of my finals prediction. But hey, it happens. And unfortunately, the Minnesota Lynx did not make the final. I mean, did not make the playoffs. So that means we are officially moving on to a W without Sylvia Fowles. Like, she's been probably the most dominant center, multiple-time Defensive Player of the Year. She's an MVP, two-time WNBA champion, Olympic gold medalist, finals MVP, first team all in WNBA. Like, she's just, Sweet Seal was just that good. And the Lynx are also headed to the lottery, a place that they haven't been in quite some time. And so, yeah, shouts out to Seal for a heck of a great career. Appreciate all of your contributions to basketball on and off the court and just and to society as a human being. Can't wait to see what you do in your next chapter. I know you know mortuary school, mortuary sciences and stuff. That scares me, but you know, much success and love to you as you venture on. And as we shared that convo, if you're listening to this, as we had that convo during All-Star, I can't wait to rock one of your knitted sweaters. So holla at your boy. But yeah, that's the sad news. But I guess we can go into the rounds. I'm still heartbroken because my Atlanta Dream were just still so close. But yeah, the matchups are set. You have the Aces versus Phoenix. You have Chicago versus New York. You have Dallas versus Connecticut and Seattle versus Washington. And the first, I would say the majority of the first few games, the majority of game ones of the playoffs were pretty exciting, except for Dallas and Connecticut. We thought that one probably could have been an opportunity for Dallas to sneak in a win or probably even win the series. It ain't too late. But yeah, that one was just a beatdown. Chicago took a game one loss to the Liberty. That may have shocked some people. People thought that the experienced Chicago Sky, the defending champs, were going to win that one. The Aces were able to beat Phoenix. Phoenix has, you know, I want to say praying for Skylar. She has stepped away from the team, and they listed it as a suspension, a partial season suspension. She's away from the team for personal reasons. So love and light to Skylar, and hope that whatever she's dealing with, she comes out brighter on the other end. And also want to send prayers to Shea Petty. She suffered a lower leg injury. There's been no specifics as of yet. There's a lot of speculation based off of how the injury happened, but that's not my ministry. I'm not going to speculate on that. And I would say there was speculation on what the injury was based off of how it happened and how it looked. But I'll leave that to the professionals. Phoenix has definitely been hit with the injury bug, with departures, with, you know, they're playing with a limited roster, and they've done that all season. And shouts out to them. For them to be able to still make the playoffs, one, I feel like is crucial, or it's a big part because of the play of Skylar Diggins-Smith to get them there to this point. For a good bit, she was an MVP candidate, and I think that had Phoenix finished with a higher record, probably within the top four, she would have been a legitimate competition for the MVP award. She had an amazing season, and she deserves to be first team. Don't play with the girl. She did it all season. She ain't come on after the break. She did it all season. So yeah, shout out to the Mercury, and praying for Shea Petty, whatever it is that she's dealing with. They haven't, once again, as of the time of recording, they haven't released the specifics of her injury. But the Aces did beat the Mercury, and so they have a chance in the next game to go ahead and you know, finish off that series. We're going to see if Chicago can even the series and head back to New York, or if New York going, you know, get the brooms out and sweep them. Dallas and Connecticut, Lord Jesus, it's a fire, Lord. Alicia had a good game. Ty was solid. There was just a lot to be desired from the Wings in terms of production for that game. Hopefully they can, you know, get their bearings together and have a better game too. If not, the brooms are out, and sweep them, send them home. Seattle and the Mystics was probably the game of the postseason so far. Out of all game ones, I was definitely enjoying the Mystics versus the Storm. Most people, I picked the Mystics to win the series, but Seattle was able to pull it out. It was some questionable actions toward the final few minutes, and some costly turnovers from the Mystics. And hey, Jewel Loy came on and lit it up at the end, boy. She was kind of ghost in the first half, but in that last quarter, in the final stretch, she did what needed to be done and propelled Seattle to a win. So shout out to them. I still have, overall, I have Chicago advancing. I feel like they can beat New York. I feel like moving on to the next round will be Chicago, the Aces. After game one, I don't know, I'm going to have to go with Connecticut. And then I still think the Mystics can pull it out and beat Seattle. We're going to see. So that's Chicago, Aces, Connecticut, and Seattle. And the Mystics. So, yeah. So I feel like they'll all be moving on to the second round. The Aces are without De'Erica Hamby. We know the Dallas Wings are without Arike Ogunbowale. Satou returned to the lineup after missing some games. So We'll see, because the Wings were coasting for the most part towards at the end of the season. We don't know if maybe Satou's return threw off the chemistry. I'm not sure, but hey, Satou had some big points as well. And so, yeah, they just got to get themselves together. So that was game one. In other news surrounding the league, Fred, I know Fred had mentioned that, you know, he was possibly interested. Fred Williams, who was at the time the interim head coach of the Sparks, had mentioned that he probably considered the idea of, you know, remaining as head coach of the Sparks. But, yep, he went on back to Auburn. And so he'll be the associate coach down there with Johnny Harris for the Auburn women's basketball team down in Auburn, Alabama. And so the Sparks are conducting a national search for their next head coach, which I think should be Pokey Chapman. And then they're also going to need a general manager. So I'm really interested to see who will be taking over for the Sparks in that role. Yeah, and the AP Awards. Now, the AP, they released their awards. You know, there's obviously the MVP conversations or the Player of the Year conversation is always going to come down between Stewie and Asia. For some, Stewie and Asia, Asia and Stewie. Like, who wins? There's a lot of conversation around that award. Obviously, the AP and their voters picked Breanna Stewart for Player of the Year. I mean, okay, cool, whatever. But we all know Asia, you know, there was so much talk. Oh, well, Stewie doesn't have as much help. She had to do a lot herself. Asia's playing with multiple all-stars and yada, yada, who. Stewie is playing with, there are a total of four number one picks on that Seattle Storm team, all who contribute almost in double figures, everybody except for Sue Bird. But Sue is looked at as some of y'all's GOAT. So, I mean, you mean to tell me she doesn't have help when she has Jewel Lloyd, I almost call her Tina Turner, Tina Charles, Sue Bird, and got Olympians, and got a possible all-defensive player in Gabby Williams, and Ezzy McBagore. Like, she don't have help? Girl, what? Okay. But Asia Wilson won pretty much all the head-to-head matchups. Held her own, beasted. Stewie got a little bit more points in terms of she scored a little bit more points. She has more assists, but Asia's defense this season, she's improved her game from the three. It's a reliable 3-point shooter now. Asia led her team to the first overall seed. People say, oh well, Kelsey, she got Kelsey to score all those points. Jewel be scoring too. Tina be scoring as well. You got Ezzy dabbing in the paint, blocking up shots and hemming them up. Like, so come on. Like, any other time, it was always been the best player on the number one seed. But Seattle finished number four, and they're going to call Stewie the MVP. It's been a while since an MVP has come from a team outside of the top two, maybe even the top three. But as always, when it's Asia, there's always some sort of competition, or there's always the goalposts are moving. Asia's impact to the Aces is unmeasurable. Like, I think that's the right word to use. Like, the girl is just that girl, and not a knock on Stewie at all, because I'm a fan of Stewie. I would love her to be on my team any day. Like, Stewie can flat out go. Stewie and Asia are both those girls. But the MVP this season, the Aces started off hot, went through a terrible slump. Like, they had lost consecutive games. Like, what, maybe three, four games? I don't know. They stunk. They lost to Erica Hamby. And Chelsea missed some games. Raquana missed a good portion of the beginning of the season. Jackie missed some games with injury. Like, the girls were in a mess. And now you got Hamby out, and Asia and Co. were able, but mainly Asia, because of her impact and her leadership to that team, not to discredit anyone else on the team, because Chelsea Gray is phenomenal, Kelsey Plum, Jackie Young. Asia was able to get that shit together and be like, yo, let's come on. And she led her team to a number one seed. Head-to-head matchups, won the Commissioner's Cup. They beat the Seattle Storm. They beat the Chicago Sky. They beat Connecticut. The only team I think that they lost all their games to was probably the Mystics, but hey, that's neither here nor there. But still, She helped them do what needed to be done as the number one overall seed. And so you mean to tell me, oh, but MVP gonna come to the fourth place team? Nah, bro, it don't work like that. And people say, oh, well, the NBA, sometimes they come from the sixth and seventh team. Look how many teams the NBA got. You're comparing a league of, what, 30, 32 teams to a league of 12 teams? So, yes, the MVP coming from a sixth, seventh, whatever seed is an equivalent to hell. In the NBA is about damn near the 12th team in the WNBA. So you don't use that as your measuring stick because an MVP in the NBA can come from a close to double-digit seeded team versus one in the W. No, don't do that. So I'm going to end it there. Asia is the MVP. But that ain't my conversation. That's not why I'm mad. I'm upset with the AP voters because on the all-rookie team, and this is no shade to Sam at all, they named Sam Thomas as the all-rookie team. Like, yes, Sam Thomas. Let me pull up these stats. I got the stats right here. And then they had, obviously they had Ryan Howard, who I'm going to get into the awards a little later. Obviously, they got Ryan Howard. They have Nalissa Smith. They have what's her name? Oh, Lord, I'm going blank, and I got the words right here in front of me. I'm going to just start over. Okay, because I want there to be some fluidity to this as I read it. So it's Ryan Howard, Shakira Austin, Rebecca Gardner, Nalissa Smith. Boom. You think you know whose name is coming next? Not on my watch, the AP said. Sam Thomas. Now, no shade once again to Sam, but how does someone who's averaging not a whole point, but 0.4 points, 0.2 rebounds, 0.3 assists, and 0.3 steals in just 4.9 minutes per game for a team that just barely made it into the playoffs? How? When you have the likes of Queen Egbo, Christy Wallace, Nas Hillman, Destiny Henderson, Lexi Hall, who had far better years. Not saying they had the best years, but far better years than Sam Thomas making all rookie teams for the AP. Now, I know people say, oh, well, the AP's award don't matter. But still, because as some people have already said, at the end of their careers, when y'all want to rattle off all of these accolades, these AP awards are included in the list of those WNBA awards, because y'all going to give them all kind of things. Oh, this person was WNBA this, AP this, AP that, Honda this, Times Warner this, Comcast that. Like, y'all going to use that to pad these stats. So, yes, they do matter. All awards matter. But these awards do matter when thinking about resumes. And it's just unfair. I don't know if this was an oversight, if people only decided to vote for four players because they couldn't decide the fifth. Even if still that ain't your job, your job is to still vote. It could have been a mistake. I don't know. But somebody, there should have been some checks and balances somewhere. I'm like, now, wait a minute. Now, who? Say what? Now, who this is? Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. That somebody should have been doing something and be like, are you serious? Are you sure you want to submit this? You know, before you submit your payment on whatever your bills, for those of us who don't have everything set up on auto pay, before you submit that payment, it says, are you sure you want to make this payment? And you still go proceed. That's what should have happened with these voters. Like, that system, or however they tally these votes or collected these votes, should have been like, wait a minute, bro. Are you sure? Are you really sure? And then, hey, but we won't even know who did the vote. I don't think we're going to know who did the voting. Like, release the ballots. Release the ballots. Please stop the count or something, because that is just a travesty. But anyway, shouts out and congrats to Sam Thomas. You were an all-rookie team, girl. You had your career high, your 6 points for the Mercury in the final stretch game. So shouts out to you. Not taking anything from you. However, comma. But I love that how they if you saw Phoenix's social media post, I think it was on Twitter, maybe they posted a video, I guess a presser, and Diamond, one, shouting out that Sky deserves to be first team. And that's another thing. They got, Sky is first team. I don't care what y'all say. Sky is first team. But Diamond was basically saying, you know, how Sky deserves to be first team and, you know, supporting her teammate who was named to the all-rookie team. So I love that they're just taking it like, hey, they did it, so I'm going to enjoy it. But, yeah, that's some mess. That is some mess. But anyway, that's all that for the recap of the first games in round one. I'll be back. I'm going to have a listener letter, and I'm going to solidify my votes for the WNBA Interseason Awards. Why did I do that dramatic voice? Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, I'll be back. Go get yourself a drink. All right, I'm back, and guess what? I am going to read a letter. We just got a letter. Oh, wait. I don't know. Was Blue's Clues problematic, or the man on Blue's Clues? Anyway, I'm going to read this letter. It says, hey, B, love what you do and your show, and definitely appreciate your sense of humor. Might I also add an additional shout out to the committee? Y'all are really killing it, and I appreciate all that you do to help grow the game and create awareness on topics that may go left undiscussed. I don't have a long email, but I was curious on the recent tweets around activism and drama and rivalries. What's your thought on the W allowing these things to happen? For me, I enjoy it and think it builds suspense. It gets the people engaged and can also probably draw new fans, whether they're there for the drama or the basketball on the court. I remember back in the day during the Sparks and Shock scuffle, I made sure I tuned in for the following games and times they played just to see what happened. Anyway, would love to hear what you think. Sending you greetings from Chuckalisa down in the valley. Laugh out loud, just kidding. Much love and support from Temp, Arizona. Is it Temp or Tempe? Send me the phonetics for the pronunciation of your city. I've always seen it, and I've always tried to not call that name of that city, because I don't know if it's Temp or Tempe. But anyway, P.S., sorry about your dream. Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for writing in. I'm not going to say your name, as always, for anonymity. Did y'all see, y'all saw Finding Nemo, when they were like, anonymity. Anyway. So I, for one, am engaged, or I love the mess. I love the drama. I love the rivalries. I think rivalries are good for sport. I think it creates an amazing atmosphere. When you look at, now sometimes rivalries can go a little too far, when it comes to, you know, slurs and things like that. You know, I'm looking at you, certain fan bases in certain towns, across different leagues. But I think that rivalry is something that really it's provocative. It gets the blood flowing. I remember I tweeted a couple days ago. I tweeted that I wish the W would do something like this when the NBA released a schedule of rivalry games. There were games featuring the Warriors versus the Grizzlies, featuring brothers LaMelo versus Lonzo. Those are only two games I remember, I guess. But it's just DeJounte versus Paolo. So what? The Magic versus the Hawks. Like, and that's based off of stuff that don't even have anything to do with the NBA. It's based off of like some pro-am type pickup basketball beef. But they're really like saying, yo, like, let's capitalize on that. And I enjoy that. And I think it's fun, not for just for the players, for marketing, but for the fans as well. Because, like, imagine if the W would, like, embrace the idea of competition outside of it being just about role models. Like, talk about the beef. Talk about the scuffles that have happened with the Sky and the Aces. Like, we know, especially when they had certain players there, both of those players are now on different teams, or all of those players are now on different teams. But talk about the trash talking that's happened. Talk about, you know, maybe somebody getting bucked and running up on somebody. Don't shy away from it, because I feel like, once again, it keeps people engaged. it makes it fun, and it shows that they have that competitive edge. Also, it's not always supposed to be all bubbles and fairy tales and gumball machines. Like, it's like they want to handle everything surrounding the W with white gloves. And it's like, we don't want you to move and have a hair out of place. We want you all to calm down and be a lady. And I just feel like that's offensive to the game. Like, boom, a couple weeks ago, people were all up in arms when NECA retaliated. I think it was maybe against Jess Shepherd or someone. When she retaliated, like, somebody was like, yo, I'm tired of you rapping, you know, like, hitting me and elbow me and, like, following me like that. Like, yo, chill, relax. Whether NECA was in the wrong or what, that's cool. But still, don't be like, oh, my God, it's NECA. What are you doing? Like, chill out. Like, everyone always treats the W like it. And I could be in the minority for this. But everyone treats the W like they're supposed to be Girl Scouts. Like, it's always about, oh, how they're role models. Yes, that is great that they're role models. That's great that they're inspiring the younger generations. But those same fellas over there that's scuffling on the court and stuff are still looked at as role models as well, because they handle their business on the court and they also do things for their communities. But the W is like, they're only allowed to be one dimensional. And I hate that. Like, I love that these players are able to be themselves. And prime example, I love that Asia is her no matter what. She's going to give you a well-thought-out and articulated response to your questions in her interviews. But she also ain't, for lack of better words, afraid to turn up. She gonna do her. She gonna have the tongue out, the Megan tongue, do whatever on Instagram. She also understands how to handle business on the court as well. But she's not afraid to be her. For a long time, I know a lot of people were very PC on social because they wanted to protect their brands and stuff. But you notice, Asia ain't hurting for not one coin. And, like, shouts out to people like Asia, Sid is able to do her. I love that, you know, Izzy's able to be her, do her thing or whatever. Some people, I feel like they're afraid to go against the grain and be themselves. Like, the Aces are, like, one of my favorite teams because all of them have amazing personalities and they're not afraid to show it. Like, they're not trying to be these cookie-cutter images of what you think a female athlete should be. And I hate that women are held to this standard that, There is a double standard. Allow these people to, the league needs to embrace the mess, embrace these people for who they are, and also embrace them for what they do while also embracing them for what they do off the court. All of those things can coexist. You don't just have to be a humanitarian and an inspiration. You can be a dog on the court and you don't have to get along, because at the end of the day, that's your op. That's your opponent. So like, stop trying to make these girls just all get along all the time or only talking about, you know, what they do in terms of charitable efforts, and really start marketing the mess. When you market the mess, I'm telling you, people are going to be like, oh, okay, like, what's this over here going on? Obviously not saying get away from what they do on the court, because at the end of the day, it is a professional sports league. But don't try to make them seem like villains or criminals just because they don't get along or because they play with a chip on their edge. And to the referees, stop giving a damn tech for everything. Stop telling these people to calm down. I've seen it up close because, you know, I go to some games and I shoot. I hear often the refs are telling them, hey, cut down, play nice, play. Nah, ain't no play nice. And I especially see it in college. And there's a huge discrepancy in the types of teams and how they're officiated. I'm going to leave that there. No, I'm going to say it. Because a team like a South Carolina or who's another team? Like, I'm going to just say it. A South Carolina can be officiated a lot differently than a South Dakota State or South Dakota or Gonzaga. So you have teams that are on You have teams that are majority African-American players compared or competing against a team that isn't, they're officiated a lot differently. They're penalized for being physical. So I'm going to leave that there. But yeah, the W, embrace the mess. The fans want it. The players want it. Because Candace already told y'all, stop being nice and get real. And to the players, stop getting mad all the time when someone has, when fans engage and fans are talking about your game and talking about their favorite players or talking about what's happening on the court. You want these fans to support you, but you all are chastising them with every thought. I'm not calling any names, but come on, like, relax. All the comments about, oh, so many people without credentials got opinions. These are the fans who are supporting you. Hell or high water, they're still supporting you. Those are the fans. And at the end of the day, sports is entertainment. So, anyway, that's all on that. Thank you for the letter. Got me hot. I'm sweating in here. I'm about to wrap it up with my final picks for the WNBA season awards. And I need a gavel. MVP, Asia Wilson. Rookie of the year, unanimous. Ryan Howard, it better be unanimous. The all-rookie team, however, comma, is Ryan, Nelissa, Gardner, Queen, and Shakira. Now, the defensive player of the year, Asia Wilson. I'm a homer. Coach of the year, Becky Hammon. Sixth woman of the year, Breonna Jones. Most improved player, Jackie Young. That's that. Oh, an executive of the year, I'm going to give that to James Wade. I'm going to give that to James Wade for how he was able to get Meese there and how he was able to keep the majority of, well, keep the core intact. You know, the Vanderquicks, Candace, Coppa, and Azaree. I know Logan loved this. Azaree definitely, she going to be it. She going to be one of the girls. She going to be one of the girls. When she put it all together and hustle a little bit more, get a little bit more physical, she going to be one of the girls. Yes. And he was able to go and find a diamond in the rough for Rebecca Gardner. So that alone, James Wade is executive of the year. So shouts out to them. That's this episode. Make sure you go like, comment, subscribe, share, tell a friend to tell a friend. Follow me on IG at It's B Terrell, ItsBTerrell. And follow the podcast also About That BW. ABOUTTHATBW. The BW is for Blue Wire. Give them a follow too. Shout out to everybody. I have fun. Thank you for listening. Thank me for speaking. Until next time, peace out. Bye.
It's your girl Mel, and you've been kicking it with B Terrell on About That. And I'm gonna need you to pull up every single week. But before you do that, make sure you subscribe, like, rate, and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend, because it's going down each and every week. See ya.